Welcome to the Haney Biz Project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Companies. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
All right. This is the Haney Biz Project. I'm Mark Haney, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in Sacramento. This means that entrepreneurs succeed. So many businesses fail, especially in that first 5 years, first 10 years. Well, my friends, failure is not an option. There are people counting on us to figure it out. Our family needs our business to succeed. Our teammates need our businesses to succeed. And our investors, they need our business to succeed. And you know what? Our hometown, it needs us as entrepreneurs to succeed, because as the entrepreneurial community succeeds, Sacramento succeeds. And I'm talking one entrepreneur at a time, one conversation at a time. And that conversation, it starts with one simple question. Are you hanging
or are you banging?
Right? If you are banging, that means you are at your very best, at your very best opportunity. And sometimes we go through a day, and at the end of the day, it's like, you know what? I wasn't at my best today. And that's what kills a business. If the entrepreneur is not at his best, Marcus, right? Then the business is not at its best. Caroline Gaines is here with us. How you doing, Caroline?
I am doing better than I deserve.
Very good. But hey, hanging is cool. I just got back from Cabo San Lucas, and hanging, relaxing, recharging, that's a good thing.
No doubt.
But you know, when you're banging, that means you are pushing the needle, you are moving the needle, and then that's when the magic happens. That's when things start to click in our businesses. Am I right, Marcus?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to put your head down in the blood, right?
You know, it's Independence Day weekend, and you know, this, it's a weekend where a lot of people maybe are taking time off to recharge, time off to regroup, maybe celebrate what's most important. And I always think with Independence Day weekend, you know, maybe it's a time where we think about what Independence Day means in the larger sense, but also what does Independence Day mean for you? Caroline, when was your Independence Day?
I'd say my Independence Day was leaving the family business and chasing my own dream.
What was that like, though? Was that scary? Was it, I mean, when you leave something like that,
yeah,
what goes through your head?
Yeah, I mean, it's taking a risk and a leap of faith and going and finding your own voice out in the world.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't realize at the moment that's your Independence Day. When you're in the battle, you aren't necessarily winning at that moment. You are battling. And I don't think sometimes it's not till later where you realize, you know what? That was the day that everything changed. How about you, Marcus? When was your Independence Day?
You know, I got out of the Marine Corps, and a lot of other veterans have struggles when they get out of the military to try to figure out what they're going to do. Going to school was not for me. You know, I wasn't going to sit here and chase anybody else's dream. So when I found out what I really wanted to do with my life, my why is really when my Independence Day really clicked for me.
Yeah. You know, I think about our audience, too, is we have people, I think, that are listening that maybe might feel stuck in their career. They don't know quite where they're gonna go. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way. It's like you're kind of feeling stuck, or maybe you're just getting out of school and you know you can't decide, like your Marine Corps buddies, Marcus. Yeah. You're sort of paralyzed by this indecision, right? Paralysis through analysis, because there's no great idea that surfaces. Sometimes you just gotta kind of jump in the game to discover the great idea. But there's a lot of people that we get stuck in a dead-end job chasing someone else's dream, or even by our business, where I talk to somebody, I would say almost every day, that is stuck to their business. They cannot take a day off. Their business is in such a fragile state that they can't even leave to go recharge the batteries for fear that the business is going to end up, you know, falling apart where they're gone. And that is a crying shame. If you can't you leave the business, I mean, how can you have any freedom? And that's got to be, you know, so difficult. And, you know, I think we've all been there at times, but breaking through that, that's the answer. That's when Haney Biz, you know, can be helpful. That's when discovering how you can scale your business a little bit so that you can be free to chase the dreams that happen when a business begins to grow. And that's what the show is all about. It's Independence Day weekend. You know, and a little bit later in the show, I'm going to talk about my independence and how it felt. I'm really in the third stage or the third career of my life, right? I battled the video store days. If you can imagine video stores back in the day, they don't exist now. And the pivot to video security, that was a battle. And you know, that battle was not easy, but at some point you end up realizing, you know what, that was the day that everything changed. That was the day that I was free. That was Independence Day for me. And there's no worse feeling than feeling powerless to change your circumstances. You know that you can't break away, you can't make the decision to win. So today is Independence Day weekend, and we are going to be talking to two men who know how to win. We all know the best way to learn is by lacing up the cleats, tightening up the chin strap, and getting in the game. But the second best way to learn is by talking one-on-one with folks that have actually been in the arena, whose face is marred with dust and sweat and blood. And coming up after the break, you know what? You are going to meet a man named Scott Moak. Scott is the public announcer for the beloved Sacramento Kings. But later in the show, we're going to meet the CHP veteran and war hero, Emmett Spractus. You know what? And with it being Independence Day weekend, you know, I wish everybody out there a great weekend of enjoying food, family, 4th of July, and fireworks. The four best F words ever, Marcus. maybe not in your opinion, but in mine. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Kim Silver's HR. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Now, back to the Haney Biz Project with host Mark Haney.
How is this mic working now? Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Five Star Bank, the Entrepreneur's Bank. I'm Mark Haney, and now entering the game for your Sacramento Kings, Scott Moak. How you doing,
that's
Scott?
That's pretty good, man. I'm going to have to watch my back, watch my six on that. That's pretty good.
Now, Scott, you are a nationally renowned public address announcer for the Kings, but you're also the director of the Kings Foundation.
Yep.
We want to get to know you. Who is Independence Day? Or excuse me, what is Independence Day for Scott Moak? Did you ever have an Independence Day?
I did. You know, I heard you talking about that in the open. I feel like my Independence Day probably was when I got this job. I've been the announcer. We're going to be creeping up on 16 seasons that I've been the announcer for the Sacramento Kings, which has just been beyond amazing for me as a person, as a Kings fan, and as someone who grew up in Sacramento. But when I was able to land the job at being, like what you said, the executive director of the foundation and running all of our community impact initiatives and helping, you know, the Kings be a good community steward. When I got that job, and so I married both a day job with the Kings and a night job with the Kings, that was probably my Independence Day. That was the day that I just felt like, man, this is what I wanted. This is what I was shooting for. I didn't know that necessarily, but it was a really special day.
Well, you had been doing things in the charitable giving area all over Sacramento for years, and then being recruited to be the Kings executive director for the foundation. Tell us what that process looked like.
Yeah, years ago. I mean, if we back way up to as part of my announcer process in 2000, in the year 2000, they had an open tryout for the Kings job, for the Kings PA job, and I tried out along with 160 other schmucks that like wanted to yell into a microphone like me, and they narrowed it down. I got into the final four, and I got a call, and a couple weeks later, and they told me I didn't get the job. And it was brutal. I was, you know, I was still relatively young, and I swore it was mine to take. And
out of 160, that's like American Idol, right? They narrowed it all the way down to four. And you did not get the
job. And I didn't get it. And it was pretty devastating, I'll say. And I had to quickly regroup. I remember thinking, like, all right, I can't let this knock me completely off the horse. Like, I've got to figure out how to continue forward. And I did. And I kept, whether it was Sac State or other events that came to town, I would always stay involved and still kept announcing. Meanwhile, you know, working, like what you said, I've always worked in nonprofit social services mostly. That's my background, 18 or so years working in nonprofit. Got my master's in marriage and family therapy. So if I ask any of you how you're feeling at any given time, I apologize in advance for that.
No problem.
But
we're going to need some advice on that a little later, too, if you don't mind.
My billable
rate. It's always helpful.
My billable rate is still pretty high. I continued on with that, with the day job part of helping people, helping this community while announcing at night. And then luckily, 2 years later, good fortune, I get a call asking if I wanted to come back and almost do a little bit of a retry out. And it worked out to where they offered me the ability to be the full-time or, you know, ongoing public address announcer for the Kings. And that was in 2002, and I've been doing it ever since.
Where were you doing the announcing prior to the Kings?
I went to John F. Kennedy High School in South Sacramento. My dad was a teacher there, a coach there, and ultimately the athletic director there. And when I came back from Davis, which is where I went to undergrad, he needed some help at school, at Kennedy.
Yeah. Dad's a coach there.
He was a coach. He was a coach and athletic director there at the time. So he asked if I would chip in and be his announcer. He basically didn't want to pay anyone. That was really the bottom line.
So you're doing the announcing for high school.
You bet. I did girls basketball. I did boys basketball. I did football. I mean, basically anything with a ball at that high school, I felt like I was announcing back then. And that was, it was great because I was cutting my teeth. I didn't really know it at the time. Like, looking back, it was great training. Like, I was announcing a whole variety of sports. I was learning, you know, kind of how you could do it and the different ways to do it and having a whole lot of fun and watching sports. Like, I mean, you know, because that was so much part of my fabric and DNA growing up was being involved with sports. So it was a great opportunity for me.
So you don't get the job. 2 years later, you get called back in. What happened?
Yeah, they called and said, hey, you know what? It was Arco Arena at the time. We're getting a new sound system put into the building. And it was a very exciting time. They were making a considerable investment into upgrading the sound system. So they called and asked if I would come in and test it out, actually. Just, hey, we want to hear like an announcer, like someone yelling, you know, in announcer
test
voice.
The test the audio system.
Yeah, highs and lows,
system.
You know, you got to ring it out, as they say in the audio biz, right? You know, so they wanted to hear how that would sound. So they call me in and I get there and all the employees and executives and a lot of people had come down into the bowl of an empty arena on a random, you know, Tuesday or something, you know, middle of the day, and they're just sitting in the seats, and the audio company that was installing and lifting all the speakers, they're there and they're making all these tweaks, and a guy just hands me a microphone and he's like, all right, like, go ahead.
Test it out. The system.
And I'm like, I don't know. What are you talking about? Like, what am I? So I literally just started walking around the bowl, and I knew enough people from my time, you know, connecting with the Kings and staying connected with them. That's probably one of the keys for my, like, just own personal business. Yeah. And part of what you would say to people is stay connected where you can, right? And I did do that. So I knew a lot of people. And I'm literally just walking around saying, you know, like, Mark Haney! Like, I'm announcing weird things and, like, saying their names. And imitating other announcers and just having some fun with it. And everybody was cracking up. And what I didn't know is that was really kind of another informal tryout that they were asking me to come back. And so I hand over the microphone after. I told them, thanks for letting me come in. And they called me a couple hours later. And that's when they offered me the job.
You get the job. And now you've been doing it like 18 years.
16. So this will be season number 16. So 2002 is when I started. That was my first year. And it's been great. You know, there were some really good times back then. I mean, we had one of the best records, home records in the NBA back in 2002 and 3 and 4. We hit some lean years, as you guys well know. Most Sacramentans know that we hit some tough times, but the fans have stuck with it ever since.
Yeah.
Obviously, we got into some really dark days with some of the relocation, you know, stuff that was happening around the team potentially moving. But boy, we arrived 3 years ago, right?
Yeah.
We arrived and everything worked out for this city and for fans and for me personally. It's been amazing to see what's happened.
Yeah, despite the ups and downs, you have remained constant in your enthusiasm. I go to a lot of Kings games.
I know you do.
And you have remained.
I see you.
You have, every once in a while I sit in the front row. I get lucky enough to do that. But you know, you have remained enthusiastic even in times when it's difficult to be enthusiastic. How do you do that?
You know, what's funny about that is being told about enthusiasm from a guy like you, I mean, give me a freaking break for a second. Like, come on. I mean, come on. You like wrote the manual. I guess the way I think about it is I was coming to games. My dad was bringing me to games when the Kings first moved to Sacramento. I was 12, 13 years old. I can remember sitting, watching Kareem Abdul-Jabbar play in Arco 1. I can remember Dr. J. I can remember those experiences I had as a kid. And I guess I think about those kids that are coming. So, you know, let's call it the middle of 2008 when the Kings are really, really bad. We're at our worst. But there's a kid there somewhere. There's a 12-year-old boy that his dad brought him for the first time to a game.
Yeah.
And I just felt like it's my duty not to like slough off on that kid. Like, yeah. I don't want that kid to have a bad experience. Like, it's his first game. Like, the kid deserves to have a fun time, whether we win by 30 and it's a you know, super exciting night, or, you know, unfortunately we lose by 30. Like, mm-hmm. either way, from the entertainment perspective, we always felt like we owed it to that kid and every other kid that comes for the first time to let him have as good of experience as we can, knowing that we can't control the outcome of the game on the entertainment side, but we can do our part, making them have a little bit of fun and maybe catching a free mini ball and enjoying a video or pulling a lion's tail. I don't know. but that's kind of what I use to keep that energy up.
How did you develop your style? Because it's unique among people that do your job.
For sure. You can hear, like, I don't have necessarily that like deep James Earl Jones. Like, I that's not my shtick. I've never had that. I wasn't blessed and born with that. I always just felt I use kind of this, as you can relate, like I yell a lot more than what people probably are used to in basketball environments, but it's a game. I feel like that actually caters to that a little bit. Like, you can have a little bit more excitement. I also tend to be, less formal. You go into some arenas around the country, whether it's baseball, football, or basketball, and it feels very formal and regimented in terms of what the announcers sound like and say. And I don't do that. I feel there's times where I'm having more of like a conversation with like Ted Gaines in section 109 or something like that, right? Fan or whatever, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, just a fan where like we're talking, he's on the big screen and I'm watching him and I can talk to him like a normal guy. Like,
well,
that's how I go about it.
You relate to the fans. Well, the fans at Arco and Golden 1, I mean, we have the best fans in the NBA.
By far. And
I think we have the best announcer in the NBA. So you guys, we sort of are doing this together, and, you know, makes me think about keeping the Kings here. Yeah, there have been some ups and downs, but one of the best things that happen to Sacramento and especially for entrepreneurship is the fact that we found a way to keep the Kings.
It really was a full city effort. Obviously, there were leaders all the way at the top. Vivek Ranadive, obviously our owner, who stepped up in an unimaginable way and saved the city and made that investment to keep the Kings in Sacramento. The mayor at the time, all the city council, Daryl Steinberg, who was unsung hero in all of this in terms of what he did in the state capitol to change some things, had some friends that also chipped in big ways on both sides of the aisle and made some really big decisions to help make it possible to get that arena done and keep the team in Sacramento. I mean, it really took a lot of people, a lot of social capital, a lot of real capital, and it did. It ultimately allowed us to springboard into what is a very healthy and vibrant Sacramento business community. You know, people, I just came from downtown, just came from Golden 1 Center, right around the area, and I mean it's packed, people walking around eating lunch outside, and that's just different. Like, we never could have imagined. I mean, some people probably could have imagined, but I don't think everyone thought that that's what could happen.
Yeah, you don't have to be a basketball fan to appreciate what keeping the Kings means to the confidence for us business people, thinking about what are we going to do with our business. Some people are thinking about leaving Sacramento. We're leaving California. I mean, keeping the Kings here makes us all want to build around what you're doing.
That's right. I mean, you know, it's the rising tide, right? You want to, where we're helping in the core, with the downtown core, we know that that's going to extend out up into the periphery of Sacramento, into all the other communities, and help, whether it's business, helping other people be more successful than what they already are. I mean, we're seeing it already. We see these businesses springing up downtown. It's super exciting to watch it happen too. These announcements of these businesses and restaurants and bars and different places coming in to the fold. It's such a fun time in Sacramento.
Fun time in Sacramento. We're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Scott about the Kings Foundation and about hometown patriotism and about the Sacramento Kings. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of DCA Capital. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to Mark Haney, igniting the entrepreneurial revolution with the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of the solar experts at Sun System Technology. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am rejoined by Scott Moak, the public address announcer and the executive director of the Kings Foundation. We've been talking basketball. We've been talking about what it's like to be the public address announcer. But let's talk a little bit more about basketball. You guys had a draft a couple days ago. You guys did well.
We did good, man. I mean, Vlade, we trust. I mean, he's been saying, you know, he was ready to dominate this draft. He put together a all-star team of executives around him and people that really their basketball IQ is so high. Scott Perry, Luke Bourne, these new Ken Cadenella, all these new names that are new to Sacramento that are helping him make these big decisions, and he killed it. I mean, he just absolutely killed it. We got, I mean, nationally rated, you know, as high as you can be rated for a draft, and it should be an exciting year.
Yeah, did a great job from the executive level, but I mean the Kings, they picked up some pieces, right? A guard, you know, they got a point guard.
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox.
And like the best player in Europe is now on the
team. Yeah, Bogdanovich. Yeah, they signed that. That was an acquisition last year, right? That was our draft choice from last year that we got through some trades, and the other three guys, I mean the National Player of the Year, we got a guy that just won the NCAA championship with North Carolina, Justin Jackson, and then you have Harry Giles, who in 2016 was the top recruit in the nation. I mean, yes. So you know, many people are saying and theorizing that this could, you know, if it goes well, and even if you hit on half of them, you I mean, it was a great draft.
So the basketball team's getting better. The arena got a heck of a lot better. I have a lot of fun there. We got going to concerts and that kind of thing. But what it's doing for downtown, but the arena itself, for people who have never been there, how would you describe Golden One?
I mean, it is just, you know, Vivek likes to call it this communal fireplace that we all need to go to and experience. Yeah. And it really is doing that on a daily basis. Whether I said, you know, people out there eating lunch right now and being together, coming from all different parts of the corners of downtown to coming together and seeing a show, an ice show or a concert or a game. It is such an experience all the way from the moment you come in. Hopefully even before that, parking is super smooth for you and easy and traffic is no problem. And you come in, you're going to eat some of the best food. You're going to have some great elements of it through that are just uniquely Sacramento about the building, knowing that it's the most sustainable building in the world, knowing that it's the most technologically advanced building in the world, and whatever you're there for, you're going to see a great product and a great show, and it's been a great year. We have some really big plans for things coming in the next year and following years, so we got to keep banging.
No doubt. We have to be at our very best, and that happened in the draft, but that also happens with the Kings Foundation. We talk a lot about hometown patriotism, love of our hometown, and what's not to love about what you guys are doing at the Kings Foundation.
Yeah, I appreciate you wanting to talk about that, and I know that you for a long time have said, you know, a strong business can be stronger when you're doing some community element, when you have a community element woven into your business. And so we do that. Our mantra with the Sacramento Kings and our foundation work and our community work, it's do good. That's what we say at the end of the day, do good. And we use that every single day as our anthem. And we have focused in on a couple priority areas, health, education, sustainability, where we're really, really pushing some really fun initiatives and doing some really imaginative things to really help communities, not just here in Sacramento, but beyond. And we're making some great impacts. It's been a really fun ride to see how we can use basketball to improve people's lives.
You're making an impact on our young people too, aren't you?
That's the goal. I mean, whether it's it's through kids participating in our Junior Kings program, which is now just booming, getting more basketballs in more kids' hands than ever before, which obviously is great, not just for fan support, future fan support, and making kids, getting them possibly involved in sports, but getting them healthier, getting them around other kids, and teaching them other lessons through that we can through the game of basketball. That's certainly one way. We've got lots of different projects that we're doing in schools and partnering with, you know, small little organizations called UNICEF. And, it's a really exciting time. We've done a lot so far, and we're excited to do a lot more.
Well, you think about, you played sports. Your dad was a high school coach.
Right.
And the things that we learn out there on the court or on the football field or the baseball field, these are things that in many cases, you can't learn anywhere else. I mean, and you guys are helping provide some of that, I don't know, inspiration.
You bet. I mean, those lessons that you can get from sport, they're not replicable. Like, you can't get other experiences like that. And we certainly use that to our advantage. And some of that is we use our players, because we know that, you know, if Willie Cauley-Stein tells a kid that reading is important, that kid thinks reading is important, period, because Willie Cauley-Stein said it.
Yep.
And so we use that to our advantage. I mean, we take these guys out. They are great community ambassadors. That's the one thing about having the team we have now. These guys are totally dedicated. They're all in on doing good. They know it makes them feel great. They know that they know what they came from and how they got some help in their lives at some point. And so it's been a dream come true to be able to help Sacramento in this way and using the Kings to do that.
Scott Moak of the Sacramento Kings, we are so happy that you persevered and found a way to come back and get the job as the PA announcer. But you know what? We're happy that you and the group of Kings that kept Sacramento's beloved basketball team here at home. You know, we are so appreciative, and on behalf of Sacramento, I want to thank you, Scott, for what you do in our community and what Sacramento Kings basketball does for the entire region.
Well, I thank you for that. I'll kick back the love your way. I mean, without passionate fans, without enthusiasts of Sacramento, and people that are willing to hoist Sacramento up to the plateau that we know it can be. I mean, there's been a lot of people who have felt for a long time that Sacramento could be great. You're one of those guys. This is a way that we can kick it there, right? We can catapult it to the level of city that we know it can be. And so thanks to you for being a fan, for being an ambassador, and for having for banging, Mark.
Yeah, banging, I love it, and I appreciate you coming on the show, Scott. When we return, we're going to meet Emmett Spractus, true war hero, and a hero here at home as well. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Ethan Conrad Properties. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Now, back to the Haney Biz Project with investorpreneur Mark Haney.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Audi Rockland. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by Emmett Spractus. He's a hometown hero, and he's the author of Selfish Prayer. How you doing, Emmett?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Let's get right into your story. Your story is extensive. You've done so many things, but your book, the title is Selfish Prayer, and I'd like to jump right into that story, if you don't mind. What happened when you made that selfish prayer?
What was going on is we were coming back from Bostic. We were doing a kind of a forward position to respond to medevacs in Barjmetal, and it was a very kinetic time.
It's Afghanistan.
Afghanistan, yeah. Right. And so we were stationed out of Jalalabad. We were forward deployed for the night. We came back after doing a whole bunch of medevacs, and we were flying by this near Assadabad, near a place called Hanukkah Miracle. Well, earlier in the day, there's a group called Chosen 93. They're a group of 16 soldiers that had just ripped in. In other words, they just come into country. They're getting, acclimated. They were trying to find out where all the ambush points were and all that. And what ended up happening is they ended up getting surrounded. And on on the north side of them was a lot of small arms, Taliban with small arms. And then to the right and to the left of them, they had anti-aircraft weapons shooting down at them. And then to their 6 o'clock, there was RPGs coming in. So they were completely surrounded.
16 of them, and there's a ton of guys, Taliban, all around them.
Yeah, the Taliban goal was to capture one, a live one, right?
Oh,
and
okay.
So even though...
To interrogate him to find out what was up? Worse.
So they just kept coming in, and even though the air assets were doing a phenomenal job, the terrain there is very difficult, and it's big boulders, it's just it's hard to navigate. Well, what happened is one of the guys, after fighting for quite a long time, one of the guys got shot in the abdomen, and they needed a medevac. And another guy got hit in the hip, another guy broke an ankle, and so they were fighting and fighting and fighting. They eventually got to the point where they were out of water, and they were what they call Winchester, almost out of ammunition. So
yeah,
what happened is we just happened to be flying by. Our relief was just a touch late, and we were just going to wave in the air and like, hey, okay, we're going to tap out, and we're going to go. Well, because they were a little late, we heard this medevac request come out, and we were right there.
Yeah.
So we're going to take this,
And just to set the stage on this, you're a CHP medic and you're in the National Guard. So you're one of like the older guys coming in, like late 40s coming in. It's like, and you've done a ton of these type of missions before. And was this just a routine mission or was this like, hey, 16 guys getting shot at? This is different.
It was different. I did a lot of missions, a number of them under fire, but you can hear the radio men in the background, and you can hear just this mass volume of gunfire, explosions. It was nothing that I'd heard before. It was direct.
Okay.
And so, you kind of think, well, okay, this is going to be extremely aggressive, and you can hear the conversations that they're having. And so when they said—
High-stress conversations.
Oh, very high stress. And when they made the request for the medevac— we looked at each other. What the Army does is what they try to do in medevac is the air assault types, the gunships come in and try and calm the area before we come in, so we don't lose the aircraft, we don't lose the crew, we can actually make the rescue occur. This wasn't the case. The guy, when they said we need a medevac, I said, hey, is this guy not going to make it if we don't go in right now? And the medic on the ground said, yeah, he's not going to make it. And we all looked at each other. We knew, because prior to that, we had an agreement. If the guy on the ground said he's not going to make it, didn't matter what everyone else said, we're going to go in. And so having said that,
wow.
As we're going in, they said, hey, you're going to have to it's going to be a hoist mission. I said, well, is there any place to land? Because if you can land, you can throw them in real quick and get out of there and treat en route. If you're hoisting in, you're just a really big target.
And so, yeah, so you're going down a line. Hoisting in means you're exposed.
Yeah. The ship is not moving as fast. It's a bigger target. I'm hanging on the wire, getting lowered down, and so it's pretty aggressive. And so what we do, and what the National Guard does, is we do a combat hoist, meaning that as we're moving forward, I'm being hoisted down at the same time, and so that way they're not on station very long, and I can get on the ground and start treating and get them ready for a hoist. Well, I asked if they had an HLZ, a helicopter landing mm-hmm. zone. And while I was waiting, I could hear all this gunfire. I can hear all this radio activity. And I just prayed a selfish prayer. When you're young, I really want this job. You pray or whatever. As you get older, you think more about your friends, your family, your coworkers, people that you care about. And you don't do these selfish prayers so much.
Yeah.
You just take responsibility and so this was the first time in a very long time.
You said a prayer for yourself.
Me.
Oh, yeah. Man.
So it was very selfish. It was like, oh, please, God, let there be a HLZ, because I don't want to get a helicopter landing zone, because I don't want to get hoisted through this mess. I mean, it was just insane. And so the radio man came back. He says, there's no place for you to land. It's not going to happen. You're he didn't say all that, but there's no place to land. And so I remember Brandon Erdman, who was the pilot. Scott St. Aubin was there as the other pilot. And of course, Gifford was the crew chief. We all kind of looked at each other, and Erdman said, well, Emmett, I'm like, ah. Inside, I was like, oh, no way. Yeah, I was afraid, just being honest. And then, but I said, yeah, let's do this. Because I knew the guys down there were my son's age.
Yeah.
And they were under fire, and they were injured, and one guy was dying, and it was just a big mess. And I thought, you know, how could I look in a parent's eye and say I was too afraid to go? How could I look at my coworkers back at home, or look at my medevac guys and gals and say, hey, I just couldn't
yeah,
do it.
At the time, you're like almost 50.
Yeah.
And you're an athlete for 50. I mean, you're in great shape. You're older now, but you're a good athlete. But still, you're dropping down there. I mean, this is an athletic maneuver to mm-hmm. jump down into a war zone like mm-hmm. that. Okay, so what happened as you're going down, and then what happened when you got to the ground?
Well, so what happened is I hooked up. I got all my gear ready. I got my rifle ready. I've got it at the ready. I disconnect my cable so I don't have to talk. You know, Gifford and I can't talk anymore. And so I look at him. I'm like, oh, man, this is the last thing someone might hear from me. So I yell at Gifford. I said, tell my family I love them. And he looked at me, and he kind of had this really awkward expression on his face. He goes, you love me? And I go, no, tell my family. He's like, I can't hear you. I'm like, ah. So I point my rifle down. I give them the signal, and they start hoisting me down. I'm like, okay, you know. So there I'm making bargains with God now, which I haven't done in a long time since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, you know, no headshots, all right? Because I want to be a part of the rescue. I don't want to be a part of the effort.
Well, you're hoping for one in the leg or something.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, you know, if I get clipped in the leg, maybe the right lower leg. I never liked that toe, you know.
But that's like, wow.
Yeah, and so at a certain point, I realized it kind of a calmness came over me. It's like, you know, for the first time in my professional career, having been a professional risk taker, can I make it? Can I not make it? And knowing where the line was, the first time in my life that it was out of my hands. I was connected to a cable. I was being hoisted down in the middle of this massive firefight. Bullets are, you know, everything is going off. Everything is exploding. I think, well, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. And I look down. I see these guys down there, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to do it. And the cable stops, and I'm dangling. I'm there, and I'm thinking, all right, God, you know, what's going on here? You know, what's happening? And so, after about 10 seconds, I, you know, in a very professional, very calm voice, I dropped a couple bombs there, you know, F-bombs there, and they lowered me down. I hit the ground really hard. I still feel it to this day a little bit. Unhooked, and there's a couple guys that were standing up. Everyone else was really packed into the rocks because all the firefight going on, but a couple guys stood up like they were at a rock concert. Goes, oh, that was bad, you know. I'm like, get out, you know?
Yeah, get down.
Yeah. So I could see like immediately that you know how someone loses the kind of the momentum, and they're kind of withdrawn, and they're kind of resolved to their circumstances.
Yeah.
And most of those men there had been fighting quite a while, and you could see that. I don't know.
They were tired.
Yeah, they were tired. It almost looked like they kind of lost hope. I don't know. I just read. It was really, it was tough. So now I have to be the solution to the problem,
yeah.
You know. And inside, I have all this turmoil going on. I'm glad I made it to the ground. And then what ends up happening is I look at them, and I'm like, you know what? A while ago, when I'd been in a couple little, you know, under fire in a couple rescues that we had done, the highway patrol, and I'm just going to have to kind of go a little break here.
We only have like 1 minute left.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so yeah, we run out of time here on AM radio. This is it.
All right.
So let's summarize it in the next 60 seconds. And
okay.
Sorry to do that.
No. So the highway patrol had given me a flag to take to Afghanistan. I was going to return it, and they said, no, Emmett, you return it. We want you to do it. And it gave me hope. And so when I hit the ground, and I'm working on this soldier that's severely injured, I see these guys are withdrawn, and I said, hey, you know, as I'm working, and I'm saying, hey, anyone want a job in California in the Highway Patrol? Just contact the Academy. Everyone knows my name.
you're recruited for the CHP while you're doing a rescue.
Right. But all of a sudden, these guys started coming to life. I said, you watch over there. You watch over there. And they got involved. They didn't think about right now. They thought about their future. They thought about the next day. They thought about after this and after the deployment and their civilian life. And all of a sudden, they had something to look forward to. And they just came to life. It was awesome.
They had hope. Had hope. Emmett, I'm sorry to cut you off, man. It's such a cool story. It's Selfish Prayer. And you know what? You know, it's Independence Day weekend. And so many of us, we just can't have any feeling in our heart other than thank you for what you did that day, what you did like 200 other times. But you know what a lot of you guys do while the rest of us are back here at home trying to, you know, asking ourselves a question, what can I do? But on that day, you gave some young men some hope, and I know you guys came back, and you're here to tell us about it. So I look forward to hanging out with you hopefully soon. I know we're having a big event. Caroline, aren't we having an event? We're inviting Emmett out to it. Yes. Taste for a Cause. Do we have your mic on, Caroline?
Yes, we do. We have Taste for a Cause coming up on August 19th.
Nice.
Randy Peters. It's going to be a great event.
So you get to hang out with Emmett, hopefully. You get more Mark Haney if you want me. Obviously, you know you can get me on social media. You can go to our offices in Rockland. We got to thank our sponsors, too. Don't we, Caroline?
Yes, we do. Thank you so much. Special thank you to James Beckwith and Five Star Bank, the Entrepreneurs Bank, our neighbor Luke Smith at Audi Rockland, Marad and Derek and the Solar Experts at Sun System Technology, and John O'Bronson with Hub International.
Yes, ma'am. And when we return, we're going to share our takeaways and our closing thoughts. But I want to thank you, Emmett. I also want to thank Scott. And next week, we're going to have Dr. Grover Lee of Wise Villa. Ryan Graham's going to join us of Track 7 Brewery. And you know, we're going to have a special appearance by one of our local House of Representative members, Mr. Tom McClintock, going to be an all-star show. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of the Entrepreneurs Organization. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back for Mark's takeaways from today's Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Greenberg Traurig Law. I'm Mark Haney, and today we gained a better understanding of the true meaning of the word patriotism. We've been talking to two men that have been investing their lives into helping our community and our country. You know, on this show, we call that hometown patriotism, but it always makes me think when I talk to somebody who's done, Marcus, like what you have done in Afghanistan, or are thinking about Emmett Spractus and the many missions that he flew on, and it just makes me think, what can I do? And, you know, I think that's what this show is about. What can we do to help the small business community? Because I call it hometown patriotism. What we're doing is trying to help businesses grow. And not all of us are cut out to do what guys like you do, Marcus. Takeaways from today?
Man, when Emmett was telling that story, too bad he got cut a little short. I wanted to hear the ending and how those folks got out of there. But put me right back into perspective. And guys like him and the folks who are out there fighting for this great country that I served for, you know, my hat's off to you guys. Keep your heads down and head on straight there. Stay frosty.
How about you, Caroline? Closing thoughts from today, takeaways?
Well, I loved that both Scott and Emmett are chasing their dreams. And I love the fact that Scott Moak didn't quit despite the challenges he faced.
Yeah.
And I think that we are never given a dream without the ability to make it happen.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. You know, Scott, you know, when I think about what the Sacramento Kings are doing, what Scott Moak is doing personally, that exemplifies hometown patriotism. Because if we focus on our family first, right, our neighborhood and our immediate community second, that helps our hometown. And, you know, ultimately, if enough of us do that, you know what? That's good for our country.
Absolutely.
And that's what America was built on. And you think about the revolution going back to the olden times. It, you know, the way we're an entrepreneurial nation.
Yes.
People, we left from different parts of the world and we converged here, right? The Revolutionary War was fought, you know, back in the 1700s, right? And people fought, and it wasn't until afterwards where they realized, you know what, we're now independent. And it was those, it's at times when you go through your struggles, I think, and then at the very end, you sort of wake up and you're like, wow, I guess we're now free. And I just have to imagine that that's must have been what it felt like in the days as our country was initially formed. And I think back to the initial barn raising, right? We're talking about an entrepreneurial revolution here in Sacramento, right? Entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs. If you're a small business here, you do not have to fail. Entrepreneurs are here to help. Entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs, just like back when our country was originated, right? There was barn raising. If you were a blacksmith and you were traveling to find a place to settle and you rolled through a small settlement, you might have got recruited by some of the town leaders to stick around. Hey, come on, we need a blacksmith here in town. We don't have a blacksmith. Why don't you set up shop here? And tell you what we're going to do. We'll help you build your barn. And it's now entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs, right? That's modern day barn raising. That's how towns were formed 200 years ago. And you know what? That same spirit is alive here in Sacramento. Thanks to people like the ones that saved the Sacramento Kings. It's like, what can we do? Let's get together. Let's save the Sacramento Kings. People like Scott Moog, let's get together and help businesses grow right here. That's what happens every day in our community. So I did receive we're all in different places in our life. I received a letter about Independence Day. When was your Independence Day? I received a letter that a woman named Kathy, a realtor, described her Independence Day. And she was in a position in her life where she needed to make a change. She needed to go out on her own and chase her own dream. She became a realtor, right? Became her own business. It was not easy. So a special shout out to my friends out there. Never above you. Never below you. Always by your side.